Thank you, Jesus. Before we get started, I want you just to, I want you to look at a scripture. This is not the message. I just want to look at. I want you to look at the scripture. You know it, but I want you to see it. James 5:14. James 5:14. James 5:13. It says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing a psalm. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed any sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effect wasn't involved in it, but this other pastor was involved in it. And they were, he said they were up in their 70s, and he'd been a minister all his life, and that they were setting up a tent to preach in this area there in Wales. And it was kind of a rough neighborhood and a rough area, and they knew that they might have some problems with kids coming by at night and trying to pull up the tent pegs. And so they knew that if they pulled the pegs the way the tent was made, that it would cause the tent to rip. And so they decided that they would park a camper out there and sleep out there all night, this older couple, to see that nothing happened. And so in the middle of the night, sure enough, some kids came up and started trying to pull the tent pegs up. And so the husband said to the wife, they were already in their pajamas and everything, and he said to the wife, you just stay here and let me go out, and I'll handle this, and it'll be okay. But when I go out, lock the door behind you and don't come out. And so he went out, trying to chase the kids off. Well, the kids, you know, being kids, they were smarter than the old couple that couldn't run too fast. And so they just went around the back side of the tent. Well, the back side of the tent was where the camper was, where she was. And she heard them out there. So she decided, oh, this is ridiculous. I've had enough of this. So she got her nightgown on. Hear this, you know, huh? House coat. Yeah, she had her nightgown on. She got her house coat on. And she went out the trailer. And this young man was standing there trying to pull one of the tent pegs up. And so she decided she would just sneak up on him. And so she just snuck up there on him, and she just kind of bent down by him, and she says, now, son, what are you trying to do? And said he just jumped back, and he looked, and then he just, his face turned white. He screamed, and they just ran off. So they kept holding the meetings, and the last night of the meeting, those same teenagers come in to the meeting, and they give their hearts to Jesus. They get saved. They come to the front. She recognizes this one young man, that he was one of the ones that was trying to pull up the tent peg. So she goes up to him, and she says, excuse me, but weren't you the young man that was trying to pull up that tent peg? And she says, yes, ma'am, I am, and I'm so sorry. You know, I've come, and, you know, I've given my heart to Jesus. I'm changing my life, you know. She says, I'm so happy, but I just have to ask you something. Really, do I look that bad at night that I would scare you like that? And he says, oh, no, ma'am, it wasn't you that I was scared of. It was all those big guys that was with you. And she said, what big guys that was with me? She said, they were big. He said, we thought for sure they were going to catch us and beat us. And so we ran. All I'm saying is there's things going on all the time. But see, you don't see it. You don't, because we're in this natural, and we're looking in the natural, and we're not looking into the spiritual. And what I'm trying to tell you tonight is you're never going to start to function in the armies of God until you begin to believe what the scripture says, that there's more with us than there is with them, that there's all kinds of, you know, the angels are with you. Man, Hebrews 13:5 says Jesus said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. Now, how's he going to hold that scripture if he leaves you? How can his word be true? He says, if one jot or one tittle, one little bit of my word ceases to work, then I fail. None of it's true. It's all gone. Go away. So he said, I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. Does that mean then that Jesus is with you all the time? Well, it has to. If it isn't true, you say, well, I don't think God's with me. You may not be sensing God. You may not be feeling God. You may not have felt the some kind of woohoo on the inside of you, but that doesn't mean that God's not with you, because he says if he's with you, he's with you. And if he's not with you, then he's not God. None of it's true. It's this confidence that we need on the inside of us. It's this confidence on the inside of us that we have to have to know that there's more with us than there is. And when we walk out, wherever we're going, and we're going to bed, wherever we're going, that the angels and the God and the, everything, that the power of God and everything that's there is with us, because we are in the armies of God. We are the armies of God. And what I believe with all of my heart is that God is trying to call us to that place right now, to where we become active. Okay? I've got three, I call them events, three events that activate the army of God. But I can't get to it tonight because it's too long. I don't even want to get into the first one, because if I do, I'm just going to keep preaching forever, and I just feel it down on the inside of me. It'll never get me to shut up. Throw me some food and I'll preach till morning, you know. But I'm just telling you, God is calling us at this time. I want you to be aware of this. Listen, I want you to do something for me, okay? I am giving you a homework assignment tonight. I want to just ask you, and don't brush this off and say, oh yeah, I'll do that. No, I really want to ask you to do this for me. I want you to go home, because I want to ask you this next Wednesday, and write down as many scriptures or principles of God's word that you know to be true, okay? God loves you. You know, God forgives you. God has mercy. Whatever it be, whatever you know that you know that you could look at somebody in the face and you could tell them. All right? And you don't have to write them all out. You don't have to. I'm just asking you. I'm trying to get you to understand how much words you really do know. Somebody comes running up to you and says, listen, I've sinned and I want to be saved. I know if I die, I'm going to go to hell and I want to go to heaven. Do you know a scripture to lead somebody to Jesus? Do you know what to tell them to do? Well, if I was you, I'd just scream Jesus right now. Well, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, right? So, I mean, you at least got that one right. So chalk that one up. Years ago, I never forget, I was in the county jail. And I made the mistake of, I was trying to get people to, you know, I was just preaching salvation. And I was trying to get people to think about just calling on the name of Jesus. And I said, let me just ask you this. If there was a password to get into heaven, and I said it just like that. I didn't stutter. I said, if there's a password to get into heaven, but nobody heard that, all they heard me say was, there's a password to get into heaven. And so I lost the service because the guys are like, excuse me, there's a password to get into heaven? Nobody told us there's a password to get into heaven. And so somebody said, there's a password to get into heaven? And so everybody started listening. I had everybody's attention. And I was like, I said, no, I didn't say. I said, if there's a password to get into heaven. Nobody said there's a password. I was saved years ago in a church. Nobody told me what the password was. What's the password? And it just began to be frantic in this place. And I had like 20 guys that saying, there's a password. Nobody told us there's a password. And I said, I didn't say there was a password. I said, if there was a password, what would it be? They said, well, tell us, preacher. I said, Jesus. Oh, okay. Well, don't scare us like that now. But, man, I got their attention. So all I'm saying to you is, if it comes up to that and you run into that situation, that circumstance like that, somebody's freaking out, I want to know, ask yourself. You've got to become aware of it. Look, I could give you all kinds of scriptures and say, oh, yeah, I already know that. But if you go write it down, then you're going to say, wow, I know a little more than I thought I knew. Are y'all with me? Because that's your ammunition. That's your weaponry. Now listen to me. That's the first thing. I got another point. Right, just instantly, just jumped in my head. The second thing you're going to have to do, you're going to have to know how much ammunition you're going to have in you. And the second thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to quit making excuses for every stupid Christian. If somebody says to you, yeah, I went to a church once, and they went, well, look, you hadn't been to our church. If somebody says to you, well, you know, I knew a guy, he said he was a Christian. Well, I'm sorry, I'm not that guy. Well, there was this pastor. I know, but I'm not that pastor. You see, you're going to have to quit defending the stupids or feeling that you have to defend the stupids. Just say, well, they're wrong. Because the devil wants to play that on you, that if you're going to tell somebody about Jesus, then you have to either be this perfect person or you have to make come up with some great big theory of why everybody else is sorry. And the bottom line is, the Word is true, God is true, God is real, and people are fallible. Okay? Just that simple. People make mistakes. People are fallible. I'm not Jesus. I'm Robert. I just get to be the temple of the living God. I'm not the living God. You're not the living God. You are a son of God. You are not the son of God. Hello? You make mistakes. I make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. None of us are perfect. You may have somebody that's offended with you the way that you looked one day. But let me tell you something. That's just a mistake. You're not Jesus. You're not perfect. You're not going to go to the cross and die for anybody. I'm not excited about Robert. I'm excited about Jesus. You hear what I'm saying? It's Jesus is the answer. Not me. Not you. Jesus is the answer. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men unto me. We're not promoting us. We're promoting Jesus. And so when the world wants to come up and bring up all this stupid, say, listen, I don't know who you're talking about, but I'm talking about Jesus. I don't know about that church. I'm just talking about Jesus. I don't know what that guy did. I'm just talking about Jesus. Let's deal with Jesus. And the Bible, right here. The Word and Jesus, one and inseparable. Here it is. This is what I say. Hello? It's the end of the argument. Are y'all with me? It's the end of the argument. I think it's so funny. Recently, God has blessed us so much with people that have been listening to the radio broadcast for years, getting in contact with us. And, people have been listening for 10 or 15 years and never wrote in or never said anything. And then all of a sudden, they wrote in something and said it. And the funniest thing to me is when they finally go and look up the website or whatever and see who I am, they're always just dumbfounded. So I didn't think you looked like that at all. And I love that. I'm glad that I'm on the radio and nobody has ever seen me. Because I want to promote Jesus. I don't want to promote me. So in the armies of God, that's what you're doing. You're not promoting you. You're promoting Him. So was the minute you tell the devil to shut up, look, it's all about Jesus, not about me, so why don't you just be quiet? He goes, you got nothing to say. Well, I know what you did last night. I know what I did, but I know that Jesus didn't do anything, so let's just talk about Him. How is it down in hell? Is it really hot? What was it like when you got knocked out of heaven? Let's just change the topic here for a minute. You see what I'm saying, church? You have to come into this. We can no longer be Christians who are not active in the army of God. And I want to tell you something. I believe we're really in for some fun times. I really believe we're in for some fun times. I believe we're in for some really just sit back, jaw dropping, saying, wow, I can't believe you pulled that off, Lord. That's amazing. You know? You're going to be standing around looking at people in church saying, and why are you here? Well, I don't know. I just got up this morning. I feel like I need to go to church. Oh, it's Jesus drawing you. When I show you the three things that activate the army of God, you'll understand a little more about what's going to happen in the days ahead, but it's going to be good. Amen? All right, so you got your assignment? You're going to write them down? Are you really going to do it? Because I want to check homework next week. And I'm taking a roll count right back here. Timothy's been working on the computer the whole time that y'all have been sitting here. He's got all of your names. He knows exactly who was in church tonight. And I will be, he's got your phone numbers already attached to you. He's giving me the list as I leave church. I will call you and say, I didn't get my list. If I come up on your cell phone, y'all are going to freak out. Amen. Well, glory to God. Well, let's take up our offering tonight. If you need an offering envelope, lift your hands. The ushers will get you one.